Okay, so we're in the bottom of Samech Tes Amud Beis. We got to six lines from the bottom. The Gemara quoted the mission of a Korei Achrimos v'Achbesor. The Kohen Gadol will read the various Parshios from Achrimos and from Parsha Emor. So the Gemara asks, "Where uminu medalgin minavi vein medalgin mitara?" So you're allowed to medalgin to skip to turn the different pages to get to the changing the Navi, but when it comes to the Torah, you can't scroll over during Kriyas Torah. So how can you go from Achrimos to Parshas Emor? You're scrolling over from Achrimos to Emor. It's Medalgan, that's Usr, according to this Braisa. So Gemara answers, Lo Kasha Kan Bechdeshi Yafsik HaTurgamon Kan Bechdeshi Lo Yafsik HaTurgamon. So the way they used to have it was that the Baal Kori would recite the Psukim in Hebrew, the way it appears in the Torah, and then the Turgamah would explain it in Aramaic. So if the scrolling over will be complete, by the time the Turgamah is finished explaining, so then that's permitted. So therefore, Achrimos and Emor are very close to each other. So when he says a pasuk, the last pasuk in Achrimos, and the Meturgman is saying over the Targum of it, he quickly rolls over to Emor. By the time the Meturgman's done, he's ready to parsha Emor. There's no delay. In such a case, it's permitted, says the Gemara. The Ha'Allah Katani, but doesn't it say on this very brisa? Medalgin, have a Navi ve Medalgin Torah. You're allowed to skip pages in a Navi, but you can't skip pages in Torah. If you add comma, how much is permitted? Medalig bichdei shelo yafsik turgamon. Sounds like, and it says how long, how much time you allowed to skip over in Navi. You allowed to skip over Navi as much time as it takes for the turgamon to finish the previous pasuk to get to the next place in the Navi. But it sounds like it's only a shear in when you're allowed to do medalig in Navi. Ha, the Gemara infers. Ha, but Torah klal klal lo. But it implies when it comes to the Torah, they're not allowed to medalgin at all, even if it's going to be you'll get to the next place by the time the Meturgamon finishes interpreting the pasuk. So Gemara says, Amar bai lo kasher, kam b'inyon echad, kam b'shne inyonim. No, that brayse is talking about two different inyonim. When it comes to two different inyonim, so you can't go from the Torah to two different places at all. When it comes to two different inyonim in a Navi, you can skip from one place to the next, so long as you get to the next spot before the Meturgamon finishes. But when it comes to one inyon, you are allowed to actually be medalgin when it comes to Torah as well. Exactly. And one inyan, even by Torah. So if you look at that last Rashi, second to last Rashi, rather. It's Binyan Echad. It's around 10 lines from the bottom of Rashi. It's Binyan Echad. Kigon Hachal, like here in our very case in Yuma. Shishtei HaParshios Medabros Binyan Yom HaKippurim. Achrimos talks about Yom Kippur, and Emor talks about Yom Kippur. So there, your Medalgan, that's permitted. It's all one inyan. But you still have to meet that criteria of you can't make anyone delay. You have to get to the next spot before the Meturgamon finishes. That which says you can't do it at all, that's referring to two different inyanim. And the reason why Rashi explains is Lafisha divrei Torah hi as haros ve'onshin u'mitzos v'tzach shichan to b'lev hashomim. There's a lot of things you have to be very careful. When it comes to Navi, Navi are simply there's stories. People, you know, just pay attention. They're different stories, they're not a big deal. But when it comes to Torah, you have to pay attention to all the mitzvahs, to the azharas, so many details. When you quote two different inyanim, people can't pay attention properly. So that's why you can't skip from one inyan to another inyan at all. When it comes to Torah, at least. So the Gemara says on that, V'hatanya, doesn't another Braisa tell us? Medalgin b'Torah b'inyan echad. When it comes to the Torah, you can skip from one inyan to the next. Ooh, b'navi. Sorry, this is b'nichusa, I apologize. Rashi b'nichusa. This is a support. This Braisa is going to support what we just said. Again, V'hatanya, the Braisa says, Medalgin b'Torah b'inyan echad. You're allowed to skip in the Torah when it comes to one inyan. Ooh, b'navi b'shnei inyanim. And kam. But both circumstances, the only time you're allowed to do it, each in its own way, with one inyan for the Torah and two inyanim for the Navi, it's only when you get to the next spot before the Meturgamon finishes explaining the pasuk. The Eimadalgan, in addition to that, Eimadalgan Menavi Lenavi, you can't go from one Navi to the next, meaning within Yeshua, you're allowed to go from a different Pesukim as long as it's one inyan. But from Yeshua to Shof, from Yeshofim to Shmuel, Shmuel to Melachim, that's not allowed. The Navi of Shasar, which are the 12 small Nevi'im. Therefore, we're still okay that they don't have. Be impressed if anybody can mention all 12 of them.
It's interesting that we call it Treyasar.
Yeah, down there. Five of them.
It's the Gemara is written in Aramaic and they call it Shemasar, and we speak in Hebrew and we call it to be the other
it's
way.
It's true, and it's calling a Brisa, so Brisa is usually in Hebrew anyways. In Hebrew, right. But it's interesting that we do call it Treyasar. That is interesting. So, but within Shemasar, which is Shemasar for us, you're allowed to medalgin. As long as you don't go from the beginning all the way until the end, rather from the end all the way to the beginning, rather. Right. So that's what Rashi says. Misof haseif l'tchilaso l'mafra. You can't read backwards. But Tosas argues in Rashi. Tosas says, "Bavad shlo yidalig misof haseif l'tchilaso." Ain the farish misof treasa l'tchilaso. Doesn't mean from the end to the beginning. Dim Kane Toso says, "Afilu b'tchilaso l'sofo namilo." So you shouldn't be able to go from the beginning to the end. Who cares what direction you're going in? It's the same amount of time. So the high nubuchteshi afsek of meturgamon ella answers Tosos misof haseifer letzad chilaso klakala. You just can't go backwards. Not a shear in the end to the beginning. It's really just moving backwards. Not allowed. You can only move forward. So moving forward, you can go from the beginning into the end. You're allowed to do that according to Tosos, but according to Rashi, you couldn't because it sounds like it's a shear. Actually, I'm not sure. Rashi says,
but this is within what amount of time? So what's the whole?
Right, I'm not sure if it's...
Meaning is it on one... On...
Well, Tresor is pretty short. Everything together is really short.
Right.
So, I'm not...
So let's say if you want to do what, you have to scroll it till the end and then scroll back to the beginning and start again? Is that what you would have to
do? I guess so, yeah. I guess, no, in one Kriya, you can never go read it. You can never go out of it backwards. You can never read backwards.
We say Mokdam Lochar
Batorah. Right. So I'm not much of the reason. We'll get to figure out whether, why not. I don't know the why, but... I'm not sure the reason. All right. The Gemara continues down and says, "The goal of Sefer Torah v'chulei." Then the Kohen Gadol closes up the Sefer Torah. He says, "More than what I've read is within the Sefer Torah," and he starts to recite the pesukim Baal Peh and from Parshas Pinchas, the Karbanos Musaf that I mentioned in Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara says, "V'chol kach lama, why do you have to say this thing?" Rashi says, "Why do you have to go say more than what I read is really in the Sefer Torah?" So Gemara says, "Kadesh lahotzi laz al Sefer Torah." So they shouldn't make say, "Ah, this Sefer Torah is missing." You look at Rashi; he says, "Shelo lahotzi laz al Sefer Torah." Kishiron al osa akori parsha shlishis al peh. When they see, starts to recite Parshas Pinchas by heart. Yehusvurim should say for Torah Chaser also Parsha. Ah, why is he saying it by heart? Because the parts of the Torah must not be a complete Torah. It must be missing certain things. That's why he closed it up and started saying about that. He says, no. Everything's here. Because he doesn't say all this, but everything's here. I'm just saying about Pet because I can't. There's not enough time for me to scroll over to Parshas Pinchas, but it's all here. Don't think that's missing.
Yechas
Torah. It's written inside. Exactly. So the Gemara says, "Ubesor shel chumash abikudim kore al peh." So again, when it came to parshas chumash abikudim, which is another way of saying sefer bamidbar, he recites it al peh. Amai niglav nikri. Why does he recite al peh? Why does he just scroll over to the next place? I'm Rav Huna, braid the Rav Yeshua. I'm a Rav Sheshes Lefisha ain't golden sefer Torah but tzibur. If they covered tzibur, the lach is as we probably know, you're not supposed to scroll over the sefer Torah in the tzibur because people it's in lack of covered tzibur. And Rashi says mibnei covered tzibur, which means shehu mitzapin v'domim lachach. They're just sitting there waiting, anticipating, and it's just not covered for the tzibur to wait. Kind of like this week's Parsha Yisro we mentioned yesterday, where Klai Yisro just waiting online to speak to Moshe Benu, and Yisro says, this is not respectful to the Am for them to just stand there and wait. Why don't you have some type of system? It's a similar type of thing of covered tzibur. So therefore, we don't scroll to a new place in the Sefer Torah.
I don't understand. What we just learned was explaining why. You just said the halacha, you're not allowed to do more than meturgamon. So what does it bring the tzibur? We just learned that it's awesome.
Right, so we didn't know why.
Is that what it is? It's explaining that it's explaining all these prices?
I think so.
Because they wouldn't explain in this brisa why you wait all the way to here to tell you why the previous brisa says that you're not allowed to.
Yeah, I think Gemara's going to go try to get a number of different possible ways to get around it, so it's part of the flow, I guess. I hear what you're saying, but I believe it's kind of to explain why. I believe so. So once we establish that you cannot scroll over the Sefer Torah in Betzibor, Sigmar suggests, well, maybe Benisi Achrino, Vinikre. So why don't you have a second Sefer Torah? and read the second Parshas Pinchas from the second Sefer Torah. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Pegam Al Sharishon, because it's Pegam. People are going to say, Rashi says, Shalayom Ruchaser. People are going to say, why do you bring a second Sefer Torah? Because the first one must be missing something. So Reish Lakish Amar Mishum Baruch Hashem Tzricha. No, because it's going to require you to say new bracha. When you take out the second Sefer Torah, the Kohen Gadol is going to have to say second bracha before and Birch Hashem Tzricha Bracha Banu Mikol Amim, and that's unnecessary. We don't want to make Baruch Hashem Tzrichas. Well, there's a new Aliyah. And the guy gets this is all one person.
Even if I'm saying you according to of course, make a problem. Right. Saying, even according to the way it used to be in the time of the.
I guess we don't know what it used to be, but the Gemara is telling us the way it would have been. It would be that you say a second bracha. So Gemara says, are we really concerned that someone's going to say when you bring out a second Sefer Torah that the first Sefer Torah was pogum? V'ha'amar Reb Yitzchak Nafka Rosh Chodesh Teves Shechal Yitzch B'Shabbos Mevin Shalosh Torahs. When Shabbos Chanukah falls out in Rosh Hashanah, so you bring out three Sefer Torah. The Koronos of Binyan Shayom, you first read the Parsha, then V'achash Rosh Chodesh, V'achash Chanukah. So you see, we take out three Sefer Torah, and we're not concerned, oh, you're going to think the first two are Pasul or Pogam? No. So also here, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, they'll take a second Sefer Torah out and read Parshas Pinchas, and no one will think anything about the first Sefer Torah. Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Tlasa Gavri, but Tlasa Sifre, Lek Pogama, Chad Gavra, Betray Sifre, Ike Pogama. The Gemara says, when it comes to three different Sefer Torah, with three different people, like we have on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, however you want to say it, Shabbos, Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh, so you have three people getting three different aliyahs, you're not concerned of a Pogam. But when there's one person, namely the Kohen Gadol, who reads from two different Sefer Torah, so that seems to be strange to us. Why is one person reading from two Sefer Torah? They must be Pogam in the first one. So I honestly don't really get that svara so much. I don't know why with one person there's not a concern, but with three people, sorry, with one person there is a concern, but with two people there's not a concern.
First of all, the Gemara takes of the Bal Kori is a shliach from the person who gets the bracha, yes. Because usually keep the same Bal Kori, it's just it's a different who was Aliyah Leteiva, right?
But are you saying the same Bal Kori, you're saying?
Because very often we keep the same Bal Kori.
Well, for us we do.
For us.
For them. Saying,
no, but I want to probably think that the Bal Kori is a shliach from the person who gets the mitzvah, it should be the person who gets the bracha that should read, but...
Correct.
Right? So that's why I explained that. But it makes sense because basically if you stop and there's another person coming, you know, you're stopping there's a whole new event happening. If you're in the middle of reading, they might think that the person found something that was wrong and they have to change.
In the middle of it. But once you end it and someone else new comes up, it's not a problem at bringing a new Sefer Torah out.
Right, because it's a different...
It's very practical. If you see three people reading from three different Sefer Torahs, then you think that this guy wants to read from this Sefer, and this guy wants to read from this guy, and this guy wants to read from this Sefer. When you see one person reading from two, so then you think it's a main problem.
Right.
I see.
Practical.
Okay. Continues the Gemara and says, Mivarech... Mivarech Allah Shema Bracha. So Mishnah told us that after he reads these parshios, he recites eight different brachos. And Tanur Rabbanon Al HaTorah Kiderech Shema Barachin Bebeisek Nesses. You'd say Al HaTorah like we say in the Exact Shei Bracha Banu. That was the first one he said. And then Al HaVoda Al HaHodah Val Mechides HaAvon Kitigna Val Mikdash B'fnei Atzma Val HaKarn B'fnei Atzma Val Yisrael B'fnei Atzma Val Yishar Tviyah. And he would say all these different brachas. It doesn't say the whole Nusach, but the nature of each bracha he basically lists out for us, the Brisa. Where it says, what does Shar Tfilah mean? And he says the rest of Tfilah. The Tanur Rabbanan who Shar Tfilah Rina Trina Bakasha B'fnecha Al Amcha Yisrael Shetzichin Loshiv V'chosim B'shomei Tfilah. So that's what they would do. That was the nusach of the final bracha the Kohen Gadol would say. V'achakach, afterwards, kol echad v'yachad maybe sefer Torah mibeso. Each one would go bring their sefer Torah from their own house. The korer bo kidei laharos chazusa l'rabim, in order to show the chazusa. Chazusa means like to see the beauty to the Torah, to everybody. So you look at Rashi, two interesting Rashis here. One Rashi has two interesting things. It says Rashi laharos chazusa l'rabim, laharos noyo shel sefer Torah, the beauty, the tiferes, the glory ba'aleha. Look how much effort I put in to making such a beautiful Sefer Torah. And each person brought their own personal Sefer Torah to show. So it's kind of interesting that I don't know where else do we see that the person goes out to to show off their mitzvah. So, okay, it's a mitzvah, but do you see anywhere else that we find this?
Yeah, by Kiddush cup, it says that we make a, you bake it of silver.
No, but that you actually show it in the public, the rabbin. Yeah, of course, it's a mitzvah of Hider mitzvah, and showing based on this, but to publicize it at the new din, it sounds like. I'm not sure if there's anywhere else that we see this.
Let's follow by Uman, what is that? Belav Falar Uman, a leather maker, a scribe?
I think it's a scribe, yeah. I think a professional, an expert scribe. And then Tosos Rashi says, what about the problem is where did they get a Sefer Torah Uman? Bebeso. So Rashi says, isn't it Yom Kippur and you can't carry the Isra Deraisav Hotso? So it says Rashi, Erev Yom Kippur, Mehavim Sham. They brought them from Erev Yom Kippur there. So now, if it's an interesting trivia question, you can say which two mitzvahs, the two things they bring from Erev Yom Kippur to the base of Mikdash, Lulav, and according to Rashi, the Sefer Torah and Erev Yom Kippur, they would leave over. And I guess they would know, everyone would recognize their own personal Sefer Torah that they had. So that was the second din. But the Rashi and Sota says differently. Rashi and Sota said, no. They actually went home and carried it. They didn't leave it from Erev Yom Kippur. They brought it from home. How could you bring it from home? Isn't there a problem of Hotzah? He says, no, they lived in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, if you say, based on the Gemara's Erev, and for those who remember, so the doors were closed, it served as an Erev. Yerushalayim, you were allowed to carry inside Yerushalayim, and therefore they went all the way back home to bring their Sefer Torah. So the different Akronim try to figure out what exactly, why does Rashi say different things in different places. The ancient Chassam Sofer is Medayik in the Lashon. It says here, Mibeso, and one says Mitoch Beso. Mitoch Beso sound, the Gemara told us, Mitoch Beso sounds like he went inside his house, sounds like he actually went home. Mibeso says it came from his house, but not that he actually went inside his house today. He's Medayik from the different, the language the Bryce is presented as. Others say it's Machlokas, whether or not Yerushalayim actually can have an Erev or not. Because the Machlokas, you remember from Gemara and Erevin, whether Diras Akum is considered Dira. If Diras Akum is considered Dira, then it ruined your entire Erev. So they were Akum, they were Goyim who were living in Yerushalayim. So some, the opinion here held, Diras Akum is considered a Dira. It ruins the entire Yerushalayim Erev. So the only way to get around it was to leave it from Erev Yom Kippur. Rashi and Sota assume that Diras Akum is not a Dira. It won't affect the validity of the Erev for Yerushalayim. It was a good Erev, therefore you could go all the way back home to get your Sefer Torah. All right, the Gemara continues down. It says the last line of the Mishnah, Haroa Kohen Gadol v'chulei lo mipnei she'eino rashai. The last line of the Mishnah said, interesting point, the person who observed the Kohen Gadol reciting the psukim was not able to see the Kohen burning the Paran Sarir out in the Beis HaDeshen. The Gemara says not, Mishnah says not because you weren't allowed to, because there's some Isser at all, but simply because, practically speaking, it was impossible to get from one place to the next. They took place at the very same time, and they're too far apart to see both of them. So the Gemara says, Pshita, it seems pretty obvious that if they seem far apart that you couldn't see them at the same time. What's the Gemara Mishnah trying to teach us here? It's a very practical thing. It's not a halacha, it's just mitzias. So Gemara says, Ma'al de tema, you would have thought as follows. Kidereish lakish, damar reish lakish, ain ma'avirna al mitzvahs. You're not allowed to pass on the mitzvahs. So what do you mean pass on the mitzvahs? So Rashi says, ain ma'avirna al mitzvahs, ma'u de tema, hainami avrehu. Shemaniach zuva holich lerozu. So one might think, if I'm not allowed to leave the observance of the Avoda to go see the burning of the Par and the Sar. I'm already in the base of Mikdash. I have to finish watching the Kohen Gadol do the rest of the Avoda, namely reading Mikra Parsha. I can't leave. That's what you would have thought. And what's the my mitzvah? What mitzvah are you leaving? You're not engaged in any mitzvah. You're just sitting there watching. That's not a mitzvah. If I'm involved in this, I pick up my tefillin shal rosh first, and then I want to do my shayad. That's a mavrin al mitzvah, because I'm about to perform the mitzvah of tefillin. But when it comes here, I'm just sitting back. I'm a bystander. So the Gemara says, my mitzvah, berov am hajash melch. No, there's an idea of the more the better. So by you standing there, you're having the added idea of berov am hajash melch. So you might think you cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash, and you cannot go watch the burning of the Par V'Sayer. Kamash Milan says, the Gemara, you're allowed to. Rashi explains,
The burning of the Par V'Sayer was done outside the Chomot, right?
Exactly.
Outside the Terumah Hanot.
Exactly. So it's quite a distance. Right. So Gemara Rashi explains, Kamash Malam, de lav ma'averhu, me'ach she'enu asukbo. That's not considered a ma'virin. Since he was not involved in it, it's not considered a ma'virin. So it's an interesting halakha we learn from the Gemara here. The a ma'virin only applies to something that you're actually engaged in. But when you're not engaged in it, you're just being mekayin the din berov am hajash melech, that's not considered engaged in the mitzvah, and you're allowed to go to another mitzvah. The Mishnah just tells you, although you're allowed to, Mishnah says the only reason why you can't go from one place to the next at the same time is because it took place at the same time. But if a person wanted to change places, he's allowed to change places, halachically speaking, would be completely permitted.
It's interesting, because you would think that listening to the Sefer, to the Kriya, and whole Indian of even Korea nowadays is mitzvah betzibur.
So
you would think that that would take precedence because it's the mitzvah betzibur as opposed to just preserving.
Right. So there's a couple of days ago we discussed the Indian of Dvaram Shvachsav Yatai Rasha Lamrim Baal Peh. You can't say Psukim Baal Peh. So why is the Kohen Gadol allowed to say Psukim Baal Peh? Why was this allowed? So Tosfos Shem has a whole long discussion. He writes that one of the answers because this Kriyas HaParsha was not Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. That halacha applies to when you be Motzi Rabim. You're not being Motzi Rabim here. There's a special din. The Kohen Gadol has to read it. Not because he's being Motzi people. That was part of the din. People went there to listen, but they weren't being Mekayim Halacha, so that wouldn't apply here. But maybe in general, listen to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, certainly you would have to listen to it. Okay, actually interesting, the concept of Eimavirna al Mitzvos already comes up four or five different times in Maseches Yuma, more so than any other Maseches that I'm familiar with. It comes up in four or five different contexts. It comes up here, it comes up by the Mizbeach, when the Kohen, and every day the Kohen will walk, and he would pass by between the menorah and the Mizbeach, the Gemara, the order of the Avodah, mentioned Eimavirin, also mentioned Eimavirin when it comes to, exactly, he finishes sprinkling on Parochas and comes around the Mizbeach and has to go back to the one that he missed. There's one other place, I'm not remembering where it was. But either way, it's interesting that here seems to be a strong emphasis on Eimavirin in this Masechta. Okay, the Mishnah says now, in Bibigdei Butz Kare, if the Kohen Gadol, well, we're running out of time, there's a lot more to do, if the Kohen Gadol was reciting, he decided to leave on his white clothing when he read the Mikra Parsha. And the previous Mishnah told us he had the option of doing that, so he wore his white, he was wearing his white begadim still. So after that, he is kitas yod v'raglav, he washes his hands and his feet, pasha yarod v'tavel, he goes to the mikvah, all of an istapik, he gets up, he dries himself off, v'vi'alo bigdei zav, he bring him the gold begadim, v'lavash v'kadash yod v'raglav, he wears them and washes his hands yet a second time. V'yatza, then he goes out, he's wearing now his gold clothing, v'asa es elo, now the next few lines are going to be a bit confusing. Vasa es elo v'es el ha'am. If you look at the psukim in Parsha Achimos, there's an aisle of the Kohen Gadol and there's an aisle of the am, which has not yet been brought. So after this, he wears gold begadim. Just to review quickly, the overall day, he did the gold begadim for the tamid shel shachar. He wore the white begadim and just did all the avodah we just completed. Now for the second time, he wears the bigdei zahav again. And the reason why? Because he has to do the el ha'am, elo v'el ha'am. He has to bring those two rams. And the Mishnah continues to say now, Veshivas kvashim tmimim b'nei shana divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And he also has to bring the seven sheep of tmimim, which are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. He has to bring those as well. That's what takes place during this is the third, remember, there are five stages. There's gold, white, gold. We're at the middle, the third stage, gold, white, gold right now. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he brings the two rams and the seven sheep. Rabbi Akiva Omer, im tamid shel shachar, how you crave him. With the tamid shel shachar, he would bring the sheep. Upar ha'ola, par ola, unclear how to read that. The Gemara is going to figure out how to read par ola. Unclear, par ola is going to go with the tamid shel shachar, or you read it with the next statement of, v'sar ha'nasa b'chutz, how you crave him im tamid shel b'in herbayim. According to Rabbi Akiva, the sar nasa b'chutz, don't confuse that with the sar la'shem or the sar la'zazel, Sar Hanasa Bechutz is the Karban Musaf, which also had a goat involved. So I think, let's just quickly look. Which animals were there for the Karban Musaf in Parshas Pinchas? Where is this pasuk exactly? Chaf Ches Chaf Gimel. Chaf Ches Chaf Gimel. That doesn't make any sense. That's
Yudav.
Yudav, okay. Because that's talking about Pesach. Chaf Ches Yud Aleph, it says. Chaf Ches Zayin. Not Chaf Ches, maybe it's Chaf Tes. Chaf Tes. Here we go. Esor L'Chodesh. Okay, fine. So in Yom Kippur it says you bring one aisle. We'll get to the one aisle in a second. Seven sheep. And Sir Ezim. So in the Musaf you bring seven sheep and one goat. So according to Rabbi Kiva, he says the seven sheep actually took place with the Tamid Shel Shachar, and the goat took place in the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. The par ha'ola, there's also the extra par, unclear, where that par, I'd say that par is also mentioned, it's also Musaf, there's also a par, I'm sorry. Right. So there's seven sheep, there's a par, there's a goat, and there's a ram. Okay, a lot going on here. So again, Rabbi Kiva held, the seven sheep were brought in the morning, the goat was brought in the afternoon, and the par, the goat, the cow rather, unclear how to read this in Rabbi Kiva, whether the cow is brought with the Tamid Shachar or whether the cow is brought in the Tamid Shabbarim. The Gemara will discuss that. Then after doing those karbanos, after completing the middle, the third stage of where he wears the gold begadim, so then Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, Upashat V'Yarud V'Tavav V'Olav V'Nishtapeg, he, you know, goes to the mikvah, V'Hivilo Bigdei Laban, he wears the white clothing for the second time of the day, V'Lavash V'Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, and then Nichnas L'Hotzi Es Kafa Machta. Then he goes back in one last time to remove the pan and the spoon that was left in the Kodesh Kodashim. After doing that, he would then Kiddush Yad V'Raglav again, Upashat V'Yarud V'Tavav V'Olav V'Nishtapeg, V'Hivilo Bigdei Zav. Now this is the fifth stage, he wears the gold begadim. He would then go to be makir the ketores, and then he would go be hatif as a neros to go clean the neros. I'll get to that in just a moment. Let me mention that right now. So, the hatif as a neros, the mefarshim ask, I don't get it. Didn't he do this in the morning? He told us in the Mishnah all the way back in the, was it the third parak. Then in the morning he'd be mehetiv as a neros. Mehetiv literally means to make better, to clean. He'd clean out the neros. And it wasn't lit in between, so why was he cleaning out the menorahs yet a second time? It doesn't make any sense. So some say, no, it means, even though it says lehetiv as a neros, it really means lehalik as a neros. He came to light it. In the morning he cleaned the neros from the leftovers, and in the nighttime, in the evening, he would light the menorah. That's what lehetiv means in this context, according to Mefarshim. That's what Rabbeinu, I think the Rabbi Yonatan Miloniel says. Lehetiv doesn't really mean to clean here. It means to light. It's lav dakol lehetiv. It means to light it.
I thought didn't we say in the Siddur, at least by Yom Kippur, we say after he went out, came out of the Kodesh Gadashim, it was Yontiv.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the next line of the Mishnah. We're going to get to that in a second. The others say, no, the answer is, according to the Rambam, Rambam has a very interesting shita. It's a very interesting sugya. I think there's a brisker rav on this Rambam. He argues in everybody exactly about the mitzvah of halakas neiros. He thinks the menorah was lit actually twice. It was lit in the morning and lit at night. So according to the Rambam, it makes sense. He lit in the morning, and then he had to clean in the morning. Lehatev means to clean it and to light it. So in the morning,
every day,
every single day, he yelled. So in the morning, lehatev means to clean it and to light it. So you cleaned it and lit it in the morning. And at nighttime, you cleaned it and lit it yet a second time. And there's no steer. This actually works quite well for the Rambam. But a large sugya.
He doesn't hold the whole nets that the last candle lasted for more than 24 hours. Or he holds it, it lasted more than the others. That's all.
No. For Hanukkah you're talking about?
No, in general.
The one that lasts more. In terms
the
of
one
that. It was Machokis, whether the center one or the west.
Right. They said that it does, so right. It's not a big deal if it was did it twice.
I guess he wouldn't have to that one he wouldn't relight.
Uh-huh.
I guess it would keep going. But they actually ask an interesting question on the Rambam that when it comes to Hanukkah, so they found the menorah on the 25th, the Shemen on the 25th. They won the war on the 25th of Kislev. And but they didn't light it until the nighttime, which was Chavav. So everyone asks, why do you light it in Chavhei? The first lighting took place in Chavav, because that was the first time. So that's why the Miri answers because they won the war or they found the Shem and all these different answers. Aside from the question of the first day wasn't a miracle, they didn't light it on the first day because you light it at nighttime. But according to the Rambam, no, you even light it on the first day. They found it and then they lit it on Chaf Hei during Bayom because that's the Rambam Shita. So he gets around that problem. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, after he lights the candles or cleans the candles, everyone agrees you light it. So you Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, he washes his hands for the very last time. Ufashat, he removes his clothing. Hevilo Bigdei Atmo, he brings his own personal, his casual clothing from home. V'Lavash, he wears them. Umelavin Oso, they escort him ad Beso until he gets to his home. V'Yom Tov Hayaose La'Oavav B'Shah Shiyatsa B'Shalom Min HaKodesh. And they make a tremendous simcha that he came out unscathed from this experience in Yom Kippur.
This was at what time?
Still
Yom Kippur.
Still Yom Kippur. The Yom Tov seems to imply that there's a Suda. So if there's a Suda, it had to have taken place after. Someone told me they had a Rav who proved for many rise that it's possible even on Yom Kippur you were allowed to eat. If the Avoda was done properly, then you were even allowed to eat it on Yom Kippur itself. I'd love to see this.
It's min haroi lo shiyasa mishtev Yom Tov. It says it's roi to do.
Where does it say this?
Here. He doesn't bring it from He just brings.
So, I mean, it already was a Yom Tov. So, Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. So, what do you mean by Yom Tov? So, Lechora, they had some food there. So, and Lechora was Motzei Shabbos. Anyways, someone told me that Rav once tried to prove that the Yom Tov itself, the Suda itself, took place on Yom Kippur. We happen to have Moy Katan talks about in Yom Kippur that one year when Shlomo built the base of Mikdash, they ate in Yom Kippur and they were felt bad, they felt good. It was a big celebration. So maybe you could bring a ride that there is such an issue, an instance where you can eat in Yom Kippur, but I would find that fascinating to see that being proved.
Either was Mitzvah Yom Tov, some say you made it only the next day.
Exactly. The Meiri says it was the next day.
Right, the Meiri.
Okay. So Gemara continues down and says, Ibai Lahu. Gemara wants to know, I told you mentioned the Rabbi Kiva. It's a bit strange what Rabbi Kiva was trying to say. Because Ibai Lahu, Haichi Kamar, Im Taman Shashachar, you crave him? How does Rabbi Kiva's statement to be understood? Does it mean with the Taman Shashachar, how you crave him, they would be makriv the sheep, the seven sheep? Upar Ha'ola, and the Par Ha'ola with that, how you crave him, Kama? And the cow and the goat were done in the afternoon, Tamid. Oh, Dilma, or do you read it? Halchikamar, Im Tamid Shashach, how you crave him, you would check the seven sheep in the morning. Upar Ha'ola, Behadayu, and along with that, the cow as well. Visar Nasabachut, Im Tamid Shabin Rabayim. So the question here, again, is Par Ha'ola, is it with the Tamid Shashach, or is it with the Tamid Shabin Rabayim? That's the ambiguity within the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Su, moreover, the Gemara asks on the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, or not Rabbi Akiva, but I guess on the Mishnah, Par Ha'ola le Rabbi Eliezer de Shayare Amos Avidle. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't even mention the par. He mentions the seven sheep, and he mentions the Elova El Ha'am, but he doesn't mention the par. So when exactly are you being mak of the par, according to Rabbi Eliezer? And the Su, further, the Gemara asks, Bein le Rabbi Eliezer, Bein le Rabbi Akiva, Emurichatas Amos Avidle. They never even mention what to do with Emurichatas. We mentioned that Emur Chat, there's various inners that the guy would mix and so it doesn't congeal. No one ever mentions when you're makriv those things from the Chatas of the Par and the Sayer. So there seems to be a lot missing from this mission, a lot of mistakes, or a lot was left out. So the Gemara doesn't really know what to do. So Amar Rava says, Lomashkach, Lomatekanta. The only way we have a real way to understand the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva, is as follows. Ol Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya de B'dei Shmuel. We can only understand the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer as it's presented by the B'dei Shmuel, Tanya de B'dei Shmuel, which is very different than we'll see in the Mishnah. But that's the only thing that gives a clear, clear explanation of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Ol Rabbi Kiva k'de Tosefta, or like we find Rabbi Kiva's opinion explained by the Tosefta, because our Mishnah just doesn't make any sense the way we're reading it. Where do we find this? So the Tana, the baby Shmuel, says Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yotzav Asa Elov El Ha'am. So again, he finishes all the Avodah Yom Kippur with the white clothing. He then puts on gold clothing. He does the Elov El Ha'am, the two rams that are mentioned in Parshas Achimos, and along with that, he does the Ve'emurei Chatas. Along with that, Aval Parola. We didn't mention the Mishnah Parola, but here it's mentioned the Parola. About Paraola, the Shivas Kvasim, the Sara Nasabachutz, Im Taman Shabin Herbayim. That's all done later on. So although our Mishnah says the seven sheep, according to Rabbi Eliezer, was done in the morning, the Tanan Debe Shmuel says otherwise. Tanan Debe Shmuel says that, no, in fact, the seven sheep were done in the afternoon. So that's according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Eliezer, rather. Rabbi Akiva, the Tosefta Mahi, what's the Tosefta we find which explains Rabbi Akiva's Shita clearly? The Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Par Ha'ola, V'shivas HaKvasim, Im Taman Shel Shach, how you crave him? Very different. And then our Mishnah had, no, this is like our Mishnah. Mishnah says, yeah, okay. Shenemar, Milvad Olas HaBoker, Asher Lolas HaTamid, it says. And then, V'acharkach Avodas HaYom. So it says that the, how does Rabbi Kiva know that you're supposed to be makriv the Musaf along with the Tamid, because since the pasuk says Mavada Olas HaBoker Asher Olas HaTamid, aside from the Tamid in the morning, you're also going to have a carbon Musaf as well. So that's how you know you have to have the Musaf in the morning. According to Rebbe, Karbonos Musaf were done in the afternoon. Again, the Karbonos Musaf consisted of the seven sheep and the goat and the par. Those were the Karbonos Musaf. He did them in the Tamid Shabbin Arbayim. Rabbi Kiva says, the Pasuk says, you have to do the Karbonos Musaf with the Tamid, because again, the Pasuk says, Milvad Olas HaBoker, Asher Lo Olas HaTamid. So then, after you've done the Karbon Musaf with the Shachar, according to Rabbi Kiva, V'acharkach, after you've done that, then Avodas HaYom, then you do all the Avodas Yom HaKippurim with the white clothing. V'acharkach, after that, you do Sar Nasa B'chut. So then you do the goat, which is part of the Musaf, but that was left over for afterwards. Shinemar, Sayer Izim Echad, Chatas, Milvar Chatas HaKippurim, aside from Chatas HaKippurim, we connect the goat to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, so you do it after you do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. V'acharkach, still wearing the, while wearing the gold begadim, you shechted the Sarah Izim, then v'acharkach Elo V'El Ha'am, v'acharkach Emur Chatas, v'acharkach Tamin Shel Ben Harbaim. So that's the order according to Rabbi Kiva. Now, what's not clear here, in this, according to Rabbi Kiva, he doesn't tell us at what stage are you doing the Hotzas Kafa Machter. He just lists that at the end, you wear, after doing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, then you do, again, the goat, you do the Elo El Ha'am, Emur Chatas, and Tamin Shel Ben Harbaim. So what stage among those are you doing the Hotzas Kafa Machter? So there, I think there are a number of charts. I have a chart in my Gemara. There are three opinions when exactly, according to Rabbi Kiva, are you splitting up those, that last section. So one opinion says, okay. I had a chart somewhere, there's a different chart I had.
Those are all, both of them are musafim, or paraola is musafim?
They're both.
Shiva Saklasim are not musafim.
They're all mentioned
they're
in Parshat Pinchas.
They're considered musafim.
I think so. Yeah. So again, there's a different the machlokas in when exactly Otzas Kafa Machta took place according to Rabbi Akiva. It's a three-way machlokas, I believe. Rashi says one thing, Rambam and the Baal Mor.
What is it? When according to Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't even mention the Eil Ola. Eil Ola.
He does, yeah, yeah. He says, V'achakach Eilo V'El Ha'am.
Oh, no.
Please.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the Gemara says, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason Rabbi Eliezer... Why did he do the Karban Musaf in the afternoon? Right, Karban Musaf, normally you would think it should be done in the morning with the Talmud Shel Shachar. Why did he do all the Avodas Yom HaKippurim before bringing the Talmud, before bringing Karban Musaf? So Gemara says, Avod Kedichsev. He does exactly the way the order of the Torah writes it. Avod Bereisha, the Toras Kohanim. First he writes, he does Avod the Toras Kohanim, which is another way of saying Sefer Vayikra, which is Achimos. He does all Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The other of the Chumash HaBikudim. Then he does Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas, which has Karban Musaf. So that's why he does Avodas Yom HaKippurim first, followed by the Karban Musaf. Rabbi Kiva, Kitakatani Taima. Rabbi Kiva does it differently because he brings a pasuk as a source. Aside from the Karban Tamid, that Tamid connects the Karban Musaf. So that's why you lump together the Musaf in the morning with the Karban Tamid.
I'm sorry, there is. In Vaikra, we have different Korbanos than in. Than in Bamidbar, or it's just that?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Totally. And there's one, the aisle is the only thing that might be an overlap. We'll see that in a second. But other than that one aisle, yes, completely different.
Uh-huh. So, and we're just trying, they're just trying to combine them together.
Trying to figure out the order.
Okay.
So, I mean, what's mentioned Achimos is everything we've seen up until now, all the Mishnayos.
Okay.
The two goats, the Paro, Shel Aaron, those are the ones I mentioned, right, those three. And then Parsha Pinchas mentions the seven sheep, the sire, Nasachutz, and the par.
So that explains why we didn't touch this subject before, because they're going on the order.
Exactly.
Of the Torah. I was thinking of why only it comes up now.
Right. Uh-huh. So then the Gemara says, again, Rabbi Kiva, Kedekasani Taima, Mevad Olas HaBok Asher Olas HaTamin. Talking about the Musaf, aside from that, there's also a Karban Tamin that you bring in the morning. That pasuk indicates that there's a connection. Alma, the Gemara says, Alma Musafanim Tamin Shel Shachar Avelu. There's a strong connection and correlation between the Musaf and the Tamid. They therefore should be brought together in the morning. Rabbi Eliezer, Hai Milvad Chatas HaKippurim Mai Avelu. What does he do with that pasuk? Milvad Chatas. He says the Karban Musaf is not brought with the Karban Tamin Shel Shachar. It's not to teach us anything practically, it's just to tell us the halacha, or not the halacha, even the idea that the kapara that each of them achieve are the same, meaning that they both mechaper for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. You see, Rashi quotes in the Mishnah, the first parak of Shavuos, a very confusing Mishnah there, talks about the different Tumas, Yediyah B'Sof, Yediyah B'Tchila, Yediyah B'Tchila B'Sof, all confusing thing, different types of Tumas, where a person doesn't remember he was Tameh when he entered in the base of Migdash, or when he ate Kachim. So different Karbanos are Mechaber for different types, but they're all under the rubric of Tumas Mikdash for Kadashav. So the connection of the Karban Tamid and the Musaf is to tell me that they're both Mechaber in the same thing. Now I'm saying this out. The Tamid Shel Shachar is not Mechaber on Tumas Mikdash for Kadashav. Okay, I see. Okay, I was doing on the wrong pasuk. I'm sorry. I was reading the wrong pasuk, that's why. He wasn't asking on the question of the connection to the Musaf, to the Talmud Shachar. He was being asked on the connection of Mevarchat Asa Kippurim, where that Mevarchat Asa Kippurim, so that's what Rabbi Kiva says, that's how I know the Musaf go, no, that's how I know that the Sayer, how do I know that this is what Shas, how do I know the Sayer goes after the Avodah Sima Kippurim? Because the Pasuk had said, Mevarchat Asa Kippurim. That Pasuk, I'll read the whole Pasuk on the side here. Sir Izim Echad Chatas, Mevar Chatas Akipurim. There's one goat that's brought aside from the Chatas Akipurim. So that tells me though, although Rabbi Kiva held that all the other karbanos Musaf are brought in the morning, Talmud Shachar, the goat is pushed off and delayed until after the Avodah Shema Kippurim. Why? Because the pasuk again says, Sir Izim Echad Chatas, Mevar Chatas Akipurim. Aside from the Avodah Shema Kippurim, which you just completed, now you're supposed to do that goat. So Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer, who held that the Sayer is done in the morning, what's he going to do with this pasuk, which connects the Sayer with Avodah Yom Kippurim? That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. It comes to teach me that which the Avodah Yom Kippurim is mechaper on, namely Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashiv, so too the Sayer Nasa B'chutz. The Sayer of the Musaf is also mechaper on the Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashiv. Yehuda says, Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Kiva, Echad Kariv im Tamid Shel Shachar, Vishisha im Tamid Shel Ben Harbaim. A different version of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva didn't hold that all seven sheep were brought in the morning. Rather, he held that one was brought in the morning and six were brought in the afternoon. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Eliezer had a different opinion, different version of Rabbi Kiva. He held, Shisha Kravim im Tamid Shel Shachar, Vechad im Tamid Shel Ben Harbaim. He split up in a different way. That six of the sheep were brought in the morning and one of the sheep were left in the afternoon. So very different than what we saw up until now of the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. There's a whole wide range of opinions. I think there are four different opinions of Rabbi Kiva.
What brings anybody to think that they're divided?
The Gemara is about to say that right now. What's the reason of that? Rabbi Kiva, the Mishnah had one version of Rabbi Kiva. Then Tosefta had a different version of Rabbi Kiva. And now we have two other versions of Rabbi Kiva. There are four different versions of Rabbi Kiva. So my Tamayo de Rabbanon, what are the opinion? What's the reasoning of these two Rabbanon of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Shimon that held different understanding of Rabbi Kiva? So Trey Kroy Ksiv, they have two psukim. They deal with these two psukim. What are the two psukim? Ksiv milvad olas haboker. It says milvad olas haboker, which implies that the musaf should be attached to the tamid shel shachar. Ksiv, and it has another pasuk that says v'yotzev asa es olaso. He goes out. His pasuk's found in Achrimos. He goes out to do the ola. So this sounds like he should do it along with the avodah Yom Kippurim later, after the Yom Kippurim, not before Yom Kippurim avodah. Hilkach avi minayu hocha minayu hocha. So therefore, you have to split it up. Some go with the Talmud Shel Shachar to Mekayim that pasuk, and some go after the Avodah Shema Kippurim to Mekayim with that pasuk.
But it's not. This is Musafim. I don't understand. But this has nothing to do with this pasuk. This pasuk is talking about Olasa and Olasa Am, right?
Let's get this pasuk here. The pasuk is Gimel on the side here. So it says.
But this is not talking about the Musafim, this is Vayikra, it's not Bamidbar.
So how we see indicated from here that you're supposed to split up the sheep, let's see. So I think it just implies in general the olas that are being brought are Karbanos Musaf. It implies all the olas that are being brought, the Kvasim are also, those are olas that are Karbanos Musaf. So it implies that all of them are going to be brought after the Avodah Yom Kippurim. I have a huge footnote here explaining how
קרב עם התמיד של שחר, אלא רק אחרי עבודת היום. הרי שמל אדם אינו, אנו למדים שאין כוונת התורה שיהיו כל מוסכים יום הכיפורים קרבים את התמיד של שחר, אלא רק מקצתם. מכיוון שכן, ראוי לקיים את, גם את סברתו של רבי אליעזר, שיש להקריב את כוונת יום לפי סדר כתיבת בתורה. Okay, so it's comparing.
Okay, so from this somehow, again, not in an easy, simple way, but somehow this pasuk v'yotzev ases olaso seems to indicate that the sheep should be shechted after the avodah Yom Kippurim. So they dealt with the seer by splitting it up. Again, hilkach avid minayu hacha, minayu hacha. Some of them you do before, right. Some of them you do afterwards.
Here it says, I think the pshat is that olat, when here it says olat ha'am, hi oto ail ha-muskar ben ha-musafim.
Uh-huh. Okay, and therefore we're even the karbanos musaf should be done after avodas yom kippur.
Right.
Well, I said, but my kamifki, what's the machokas, whether you do one or six or one? So the machokas is, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Avid Chad, Kiddich Se Milvad Olas HaBoker, just do one. Do me kind of din of Mivad. V'hadr Avid Avod HaShayom. And then do the six later on. Sorry, then do the Avod HaShayom. Dilma Chul Shel Chalish Kohen Gadol. Because if you do all six first, the Kohen Gadol is going to get very weak. So you'd rather put all his strength into Avodah Shem HaKippurim. So have him just do one sheep now, Yotz the Din, and leave the six for later. But we his most strength should really be reserved for the Avodah Shem HaKippurim. Rabbi Elazar takes a different approach. Rabbi Shimon, he says, Savar Kevin de Aschil, once you start Avod Shisha, then do six, and just leave one over. Once you start a mitzvah, you're supposed to complete the mitzvah as best, as most as possible. Dilma Pasha, he might, be negligent. And when it comes to the six sheep, he might make a mistake, but the Yom HaKippurim, we're not concerned. So let him do the six now, get that done with now, and the Avodah Shem HaKippurim, he won't forget that one. But if he does the Avodah Shem HaKippurim first, he might say, I'm just so exhausted, just might be poche on the other six. So therefore, do the six now, get it done with already.
Why does he do all seven then?
Because you have two different psukim. You have to make kind both psukim in one way. The Gemara says, the chuli amma mi'as chad ailhu. Everybody agrees there's only one aisle. Why is only one aisle? If you look in the psukim Parsha Pinchas, it says it's an aisle. If you look in the psukim in Nachimos, it says that there's another aisle. Sounds like there are two aisles. So Gemara says that's really subject to machlokas tanoim kiman, who holds this way that there is just one aisle. Ki Rebbe, Ditani, Rebbe Omer, aisle echad ha'amur kan, hu amur b'chumash ha'pikudim. The one aisle that's mentioned here in Sefer Vayikra is the very one that's mentioned in Sefer B'chumash ha'pikudim in Parshas Pinchas. It's one and the same. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Shnei ayalim heim. We already showed us already once or twice before, I think, in the Yuma. So he says, no, there are two different ayalim, two different rams, echad ha'amur kan, v'echad ha'amur b'chumash ha'pikudim, one in Achrimos and one in Parshas Pinchas. My time with the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe think it's one of the same? It says Echad. There's one aisle. If there are two, we say there are two aisles. It says one. Okay, mention it in two places. Not such a big deal. You have things that are repeated in different places. There's one aisle, the pasuk says. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, my Echad. What does it say? Echad miyuchad shebedo has to be miyuchad, has to be singular, has to be unique, has to be special. Not that there's one in the amount. Has to be one. Has to stand out. Each of the aisle have to stand out. But there were a total of two actually. The Gemara says, Rebbe, nafkale mi mivchar nidarecha. No, you don't need echad to teach me. We know in general, all karbonos have to be mivchar from the best meat, from the best animals. So echad must be teaching us that it has to be just one. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, I agree that mivchar teaches me the din, but still you need both. You need two different mitzvahs, two different psukim to tell me two different halachas. Why? Chad b'chova, chad b'nedava v'tshichu. One to tell me that a chova has to come from the best, and one to teach me that a nedava has to come from the best. And tshichu, you need to teach both. You couldn't learn one from the next. Rashi says, and we'll finish with this, Rashi says, v'tshichu, you need both psukim for nedava and for the chad, for the chova. Sheyesh das nota, there is one person is inclined to say, Nidava muvcheres kadei sheitei mukubas baratam. In nidava, I'm really on my own. Exactly. So Meir Karsh Baruch Hu doesn't want to accept my nidava. If I make it a nice piece of meat, so then he'll accept it. V'yesh das noted the others were inclined to say chovatei muvcheres kadei sheyatzah yidei chavasu yafe. I have an obligation. So I want to fulfill my obligation the best possible way. So the chovah should be the best, but not necessarily the nidava.
Okay,